morning. Good morning. Let's quiet our hearts as we listen to the prelude. Good morning. It's really great to see everybody on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. I just have a few announcements I want to go over in the bulletin. First of all, last week we learned of the fire at YWAM, and Grace had an announcement about various needs. Well, there is a list in the bulletin with various needs for YWAM, so if anybody's interested in helping with that, you can look at the list. Also, next Sunday is our Spring Love Feast. That's next Sunday at 6:30. And then the following Sunday, of course, is Easter, and we have our Easter sunrise service. In the bulletin, it's the announcement about the breakfast after the service. I know we usually go to the sunrise service. It starts at 7 o'clock, and I know it's early. It's at 7 o'clock. It's often cold. We're all standing there freezing. But it's really, really a nice service. So, you know, if you haven't been there, you might want to think about coming out. Sometimes, I mean, I enjoy it because of the service, but also because you're out in the nature. It's a little bit different than normal. I get a little distracted seeing the geese and the muskrats and whatever, but it's really a nice service. So just a little shout out about that. Now Earl has an announcement.
Good morning. Just want to say a very special thanks to everyone that's come out to the spaghetti supper last night and supported us. We had a nice crowd. We served 139. And a big thanks to the youth for serving. And the kitchen committee, thanks everybody that helped in the kitchen. And it was just a good time. So thank you very much. We made about $825 profit. So we'll be splitting that between the youth and the budget. Okay? Thank you.
And Jessica Singer has an announcement as well.
Good morning. Just a reminder, next Saturday at 9 a.m. is our egg hunt, so we welcome all the kids to come out and bring a friend.
Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, well then, why don't we stand, and if you want, we're going to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 268 in the Brown Hymnal. Please join me in the call to worship. We'll have a responsive reading. If God is for us, who can be against us?
He gave us his own Son. Will he not also freely give us all things?
Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death?
No. In all these things we have complete victory through Him who loves us.
For I am certain that nothing can separate us from His love. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here today. We come here before you to give you honor and praise. You are so, so worthy of our praise. You are the source of all that is good. You are the source of all of our blessings. Thank you so much for every gift that we have been given. We thank you for the opportunity to come and gather together this day. We ask for your hand of blessing on this service. We also ask that you would guide and direct our service so that it is full of worship and praise to you. Inspire us as we learn more about your majestic ways. Please equip us, challenge us, comfort us, and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And now we're going to hear the senior choir, I believe. Thank you, choir and Earl. That was really beautiful. For the offertory statement, I'm going to read the offertory statement. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? With the Lord, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O God, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, God. Let us pray. God of all goodness and grace, receive the gifts that we are about to offer, and grant that our whole life may give you glory and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The ushers may come forward, and the children may go to Children's Church. And we are going to be singing The Old Rugged Cross, one of my favorites, 429 in the Brown Hymnal. Now we'll hear from the senior choir, Worthy is the Lamb.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning on this Sunday before Palm Sunday. I want to go over a few prayer concerns. In your bulletin, you'll see a listing of people we need to pray for. want to thank Kim for worship leading this morning, and she mentioned about the items for Youth with a Mission for YWAM. For those of you who don't know, they had a devastating fire, pretty much destroyed the whole building, and they have some needs there. And like you said, in the bulletin here, there's a number of items that they need. I see that there's several items ready in the gathering place. I want to thank all those who gave for Youth with a Mission. So keep them, keep that ministry in prayer. That is such a vital ministry in the area here and in the kingdom of God. Also this week, we are praying for the Lancaster Church of the Brethren. We always want to pray for a church in the district. And this week we're praying for Lancaster Church of the Brethren, and the Richland Church of the Brethren is praying for us. And you can see the number of people there that we need to remember in prayer, and also unspoken requests as well. And here again, if you have a prayer concern, a prayer need, don't be afraid to call me, or if you know of anyone that's having any kind of surgery or procedure done and they need prayer, just go ahead and contact me. Just so you know, for those of you who don't know, my cell phone number starts out with 540 area code. I know some people think, well, who in the world is calling me up from Roanoke, Virginia? But, you know, that's me. So just so you know, and if you don't know my number, just go ahead and put it in your cell phone. It's 540-769-9853. So if you ever get that ID, then you know who that is. So let's come to our God in prayer this morning as we have our morning prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of coming together to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Lord, you are truly worthy. You are truly worthy. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives, Lord. And Lord, on this Sunday where we are approaching the week of Holy Week, Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and help us to see the sacrifice and the journey, Lord, that you made to the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is with us in sorrows and times of trial, as well as joy. And Lord, we know that Jesus Christ was the one who had the worst trial, the worst tribulation that any of us can imagine by going to the cross. Help us to be mindful in the midst of our own trials and tribulations, whatever they may be, that, Lord, that you made the ultimate sacrifice. You suffered more than any one of us ever will. We thank you that you provide eternal life because of the cross. And, Lord, this morning as we worship you, we just want to give you our honor and praise in this time of worship. We bring, Lord, our concerns to you, Lord. There's a number of people mentioned on a prayer concern list that we need to lift up. We pray for each name this morning, Lord. You know each one by name. You know every trial, tribulation, sickness, illness, Lord, that each one faces. Help us to know, Lord, that you have this trial in the palm of your hand. Help us to know, Lord, that you have complete victory in anything that we do as long as we put our faith and trust in you. We pray this morning for Youth with a Mission, for YWAM. Lord, they've been through a devastating loss. We pray, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, your strength and their give them peace to know, Lord, that you're going to provide for their needs. We pray for their needs right now for each one. Lord, we pray that we as a congregation would be able to help out. We thank you, Lord, for the breakfast or the supper yesterday that we had here at the church, for that ministry, for the ones who came out, Lord. We thank you for taking time to come out, and we pray for the ministry here in this church, for the needs that we have, Lord. We also lift up our Easter egg hunt this Saturday, Lord. We thank you for that ministry that we have with kids. We pray, Lord, that the kids, Lord, would know more about you, Lord, and your ways. And Lord, as we approach the season of Palm Sunday, the season of Lent, we have our love feast and communion. We pray that you would prepare our hearts individually by looking at our own walk with you. Help us to know, Lord, that love feast is a time where we look to one another here as brothers and sisters in the church. We examine not only our relationship with you, but our relationship with brothers and sisters in the church. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to make those relationships right. We pray that we, each one of us, Lord, will look to you for forgiveness for times that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We pray that we would come to your Lord's table in peace and reconciliation. We lift up our nation right now. We thank you for our nation, but we also pray for the many, many trials and tribulations that we face as a nation. We pray that you would uplift our president, that you would direct his path, Lord, that you would protect him. We pray for the church, for us as Christians, Lord, that you would give us, Lord, the witness, the light of Jesus Christ that we need to have. Help us to be aware, Lord, that we are your shining lights to those around us, to our neighbors, to those we see each day. We pray, Lord, that you would give us boldness, Lord, to share what you have done in our lives and to share that with others. We pray that you would lead us and guide us now as we look into your word, that it would give us, Lord, wisdom to live the life that you want us to live as Christians. Lead us, Lord, as we continue to worship you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today. It's taken from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And you can get your insert sheets out if you want. This morning's sermon topic is a joyful return. It's talking about the people of God who are coming back to Jerusalem. And it was a very joyful time for them. Psalm 126. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, your words of inspiration, your words of guidance. We pray that you would give us, Lord, the determination to live according to your word that is spoken and written for us. Pray now that you would guide every word that I speak in the meditation of my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever experienced a true homecoming? I remember when I was in college, we always had homecoming weekend where all the alumni would come back and we would have these wonderful events that celebrate what homecoming means. And I was in one district at a church in the Verlina district down southwest Virginia. And down there, the churches have what they call homecoming, where it's a weekend, a Sunday, where they invite former pastors and people to come back to the church and celebrate the life of the church. That's what they call homecoming. But think about your own life. Have you ever experienced your own homecoming? Think back to the time when you left home for the first time, whether that was going away to college or maybe you served in Vietnam or served in the military and you came back home. What was that like? What was that homecoming like? Hopefully it was a joyful homecoming. This morning I want us to look at what that means to have a true homecoming. How can we describe the joy that the people of God felt when they came back to their home in Jerusalem? Look at what it says in Psalm 126, verse 2. That describes this joy. It says, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Singing. Why were they joyful? Why were these returning Jews so joyful? Well, they were at the place where they believed God wanted them to be. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. I was never there. I hope I eventually get to go there. But I know it's quite an inspirational place to be. But the Jews returned to Jerusalem, the place where they wanted to be, where God wanted them to be. God's holy city. They're at the place where they could worship God peacefully. In fact, that homecoming, that return was so good for them that they thought to make that pilgrimage back to Jerusalem was just a dream. It says there, they thought they were dreaming. A dream come true. Oh, we should all have that same joy. When we know that God is leading us to the place where He wants us to be. I want us to look this morning, first of all, at the context of this text, this important psalm, Psalm 126. Psalm 126 is one of 14 psalms that are called Songs of Ascents. It's in your inserts, Songs of Ascents. These psalms speak about the pilgrimages that the Jewish people would make as they were going to Jerusalem. The Psalms of Ascents literally means going up to Jerusalem. It was a joyful pilgrimage, a joyful journey for these returning Jews. The Jewish pilgrims would make their yearly travels to Jerusalem to celebrate their feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, which is the season that we are in at this time, before Palm Sunday. And as the Jewish exiles, as the people come back to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs of joy as they traveled. It reminded me of when my sisters would go to church camp. They would just enjoy going to camp so much that they would have to sing their camp songs in the car as they were going to camp because they were so joyful about going to camp. I wasn't much of a church camp kid at that time, but my sisters were, and we sang those songs of camp songs in the car because they knew that they were going to that place where they wanted to be. And once the Jews arrived at the temple, the place of worship, you had the Levites. The Levites were the people who were in charge of the worship of the temple. The Levites would ascend. They would go up to the temple. They would go up 15 steps that led to the temple. It was a very, very inspirational walk up to the place where they would find God. And I was thinking about that. I thought, oh, if only we as Christians could have that same joy as we come to church on Sundays. If we could have that joy that King David had when he went to the temple, he would say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That was one of the Bible verses I memorized as a child in Sunday school. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, the timing of this joy is important to note, too. The timing of this joy for these surviving Jews is important. When did it happen? It happened during the time following their captivity from Babylon. This happened about 70 years after their exile, after their captivity. It was a very, very sorrowful time for those who were in captivity because their home was destroyed. Their place of worship was destroyed, and they were exiled from the place where God wanted them to be. And in their sorrow, the people in this captivity would cry out to the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm 126, verse 4. They would cry out. They would say this, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Bring back our captivity. What were these Jews who were in captivity, what were they praying for? They were praying to God for a sudden and mighty work in order to further the work of restoration. Restoration. They would pray to God for a miracle. Just like they saw earlier in their history when God rescued them from the hand of Pharaoh. They were praying for that miracle. And I thought about that for our own lives. Do we have that same anticipation of God doing miracles in our lives? When we know, when you and I know that we have a God who can perform miracles, we want to see that happen, don't we? We want to see that happen in our lives. We want to see that. We long for God to do miracles for us, especially when we're having a bad day or when we're in a trial. We want God to rescue us. We want that deliverance. I can remember one of the most frightening times in my life was when I was rescued as a child. I was about 6 years old, and I was lost away from my home and my parents. I'll tell you how that happened. When I was in elementary school, every Friday, I would get my hair cut. At the time, I had one of those crew cuts that they had back in the early mid-60s, you know, the kids had these crew cuts, and when you have a crew cut, you have to get your hair cut every week. So every week, I'd get a haircut. What my mom would do, she'd give me a dollar, and she'd say, okay, here's money for your haircut. So after school, she told me, you need to get off there at the barber shop, and then after you're done getting your haircut, go over to where your dad works. My father worked right next to the barber shop at the parts department. And then he would take me home. So that was the routine. Every Friday I did that. Well, one Friday, you know, I got off the school bus there at the barber shop, went in there, got my hair cut, went to the parts department where my father worked, and I didn't see him. He wasn't there. So I'm thinking, this is kind of weird. So I start walking around. I walked into the office where the secretaries were. I said, have you seen Paul Moyer? Have you seen my dad? He said, no, we haven't seen him anywhere. So then I go over to the restaurant. There was a restaurant next door to the parts department. And I went in there, and I told everybody, I asked everybody there, have you seen Paul Moyer? No, we haven't seen him. I went across the street to the local grocery store, asked the grocer, have you seen my dad? You know, everybody knew him. Haven't seen him anywhere. Now it was getting dark. I was getting a little scared. And so I remember this so vividly. I remember sitting out in front of the parts department of where my dad worked, and I watched the cars go by, thinking that one of these cars is going to be my father. He's going to pick me up. Well, they didn't stop. I don't know how long I waited there. I waited there for a long time. Then it was getting dark. And then I was really scared. And of course, as a six-year-old kid, what do? I started crying. You know, I didn't know. I was this poor kid without any parents away from home. So then my good Samaritan came. He was one of my dad's co-workers. He saw me out there, you know, weeping and asked me what's wrong. I said, I'm lost. And so he says, okay, I know where you live. I'll take you home. So I took him home. So he took me home. And then when I got home, I wish I could have remembered a conversation that my mom and dad had because I knew someone was in trouble. Someone really got messed up with their communication. And all I know is that, you know, my father didn't even know that I was going over there to get a haircut, but it didn't matter. I didn't really care because I was just glad to be home. I was glad to be at the place where I belonged. We all long for that place where we want to belong. We should all be joyful that we have a God who can save, that we have a God who can rescue us out of our own captivity. That's what God does in our lives. And when I was looking at the text this morning, when I was looking at how the Jews were in captivity, I thought about our own captivity. You know, I think we all have our own captivity in some way. Whatever your captivity is in life, whatever it is, name it. And then believe that God will rescue you and bring you to the place where he wants you to be. What's the purpose of bringing for God rescuing us? There's a purpose. It's called restoration. Restoration. We call this restoration in the Bible. What is restoration? It is renewing something to its former state. It's renewing something to its former state. That is what God did for Israel and the Jews. God restored the people to the place where they originally meant to be. In other words, it wasn't just for the purpose of saying, hey, you're home now. It's for the purpose of saying, now you're back to your faith. You're back to where you need to worship me. And what I want us to see in today's text is the reaction, the response of the people when they saw God restore the Jews. It made a global response. Look at what it says, Psalm 126, verses 2 to 3. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. That is the Gentiles. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Now look at that for a moment. It's describing God's great rescuing power. That says God's great rescuing power to restore people back into the Lord's place is self-evident. It's so powerful that even the blind nations can see them. Even unbelievers can see that. That's what it says. It even says the unbelievers can see God save people. And they want that. Never underestimate God's saving power. Never underestimate God's saving power. This challenges you and I to tell others what God has done in my life, in your life. Plus, the word tells us that we need to be glad what God has done. Never underestimate the power of your testimony, whatever your testimony is, whatever way God answered your prayer, whatever that is. Never underestimate that power of testimony when you share that with others. And that your testimony can even reach those who are unbelievers in the Lord. You know, there are many people today who believe that only certain skilled people can share their testimony. And that would be like the great church leaders. You know, it's wrong to think that you have to be a Billy Graham in order for people to see what the Lord has done in your life. Because God moves in ways that we cannot see. He can use ordinary people like you and I. And I have to put a plug in this morning for for the people who have been asked to be worship leaders in the church, and particularly those who feel as though they're timid and scared to get up there because they believe they don't have that gift of worship leading. Well, if you ever get up here, you'll be surprised at the witness that you're going to have on others. I remember one time when I was serving my first church in the Western Pennsylvania district, we were having an area Lenten service with many other brethren churches in our area. And we had that every Sunday evening during Lent. And this particular Sunday evening, we're at a very small church, maybe about 20 to 30 people were there. And I went to that church service, and my parents were visiting me. And so I took them along to this Lenten service. So we're having this worship, you know, the Lenten service where you have a worship leader, and the worship leader would introduce the main speaker, and they would give the message. And so the worship leader that evening at the small church was the most timid worship leader I think I've ever seen. You could tell that he was just really out of his comfort zone. And after the service, my father was never really someone who would talk much about his faith, but he came up to this young guy who was a worship leader, came up to him, shook his hand, and says, "Hey, I really appreciate you being worship leader tonight. That really meant a lot to me." My father said that. He didn't really say anything, didn't even talk to the preacher that night. Instead, he talked to the worship leader because he could identify what this guy was going through, being out of his comfort zone. You see, look at the witness that he had on others. Even when you don't think you're having a witness on others, God is moving. God is changing people because God moves in ways that we cannot see. So I want you to think for yourself. Think, do you see the Lord working in your life at this time? And can you say, like the Jews said when they came back, "The Lord has done great things for me, and I am glad"? Can you say that this morning? Sometimes our own captivity holds us back from that witness. Sometimes when we're in our own trial, when we're in our own captivity, it holds us back from what God has done in my life and what God is able to do in the future. We sometimes are what I call victims of our own captivity. Look what it says in Psalm 126, verse 4. "Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Bring back our captivity. Living Bible translation says, "May we be refreshed as by streams in the desert." Now think about what that says. For those of you who have ever driven in the desert, the southwest part of a country, it seems endless when you're driving through the desert of the southwest. The wilderness, the rocks, the heat, the dry air. If you're traveling on a highway in a desert, sometimes you see what they call a mirage ahead of you. This mirage, which makes you think that there is a stream of water ahead of you when it's not even there. And any kind of refreshment in a desert is like refreshment. It's like a water stream that seems so longing. But the water stream in a desert is out of the picture when you're there. This is how captivity seems. When you and I are in captivity, when we're in bondage to anything that's not from God, it seems like it will never end, like being in the desert. So what's the answer? People today need to be refreshed. We need it. Do we believe the Lord can rescue us from captivity? The writer of Psalm 126 says yes. Yes, God is able to rescue you from captivity. Look at the last two verses, Psalm 126, 5 to 6. "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is symbolic for the Lord's work. What seems to not be working with the Lord will work one day. That's what it says. It's an enthusiastic cry for the Lord's work, bearing seed for sowing. What seems to be sorrowful now will one day turn to joy and reaping and harvesting. I think of that old song, bringing in the sheaves. That's a joyful harvest there. God says, you know, you need to bear seed that will one day reap the rewards of the harvest. It's faith work. It's faith work for the church. It's believing that we'll never remain the same as long as we believe in the faith work of our Lord. And if you're weeping in your heart this morning, what should you do? Look at verse 6. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Bearing seed, that is symbolic of planting the seeds of faith. That means we don't stand by idle, doing nothing. We plant seeds of faith. Now we know, we've heard the phrase before, you probably heard the phrase before of planting seeds of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of those two chapters, Paul talks about the importance of planting seeds of faith. When we plant seeds of faith, God provides increase. But many times, what we do as Christians, we plant seeds of faith and just walk away and forget it. We can't do that. Or we plant the seeds of faith. We say, okay, I talked to this person. He's not really growing in their faith. And so you just give up on that person. You can't do that. You got to wait for the harvest. You got to wait for the harvest. In fact, have you ever noticed how many churches have the name Harvest in their name? You know, some of the mega churches have the name Harvest in their name. That's because everyone wants to see the harvest. They want to see the harvest of people coming to the Lord. And I understand that, and I want to see people come to the Lord too. But if we're not seeing a harvest, maybe that means we better focus more on planting seeds of faith. Planting seeds of faith. Bearing seed. Carrying the seed. The NIV mentions the word carrying the word of God with us. It's when we listen to what the Lord, what the word says for us. You know, as brethren, as people of the church of the brethren, we've always been known as people of the word, which means we live according to what the Bible tells us to. And we believe that that will eventually reap a reward, reap a harvest through our example. We need to believe that. We need to continue to do that. We need to believe that the seeds we plant will multiply and make a difference. So that one day we will, as they say, bring in the sheaves of harvest. And then we'll have that joy of rejoicing of what God has done. We need to believe in the God who can make this harvest happen and who can deliver us from our own captivity by trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the one who paid the price for our captivity and set us free from bondage. We cannot continue to live a life without Jesus Christ. He is the one who paid the price. He can set you free and lift us up to where God wants us to be. Won't you trust in him today? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who is with us. We thank you that we have this privilege of planting seeds of faith for you, Lord. Help us as people of the church to know that we need to do our job of planting seeds and believing and waiting for the harvest to come. Even though we may not see the results, we know, Lord, and believe that one day we will. We pray for the church that we, as individuals, as we leave here today, would share that witness, share our testimony, and from there believe that that we will see a harvest one day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you, and we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing our closing song, I invite anyone to come forward. I always say the altar is always open for anyone to come forward to pray or to give your life to the Lord. Let's all stand and sing our closing song, number 489, We're Marching to Zion.